Section 1. A History of a Global Economy. What do you think of when you hear the term globalization? To some, it represents the coming together of all the people of the world to form a single society. To most, however, it represents the bringing together of nations throughout the world through international trade, foreign investment, migration, and technology. Global trade is a part of everyday life in the 21st century. You only have to look at the labels on your clothing, food, and household items to see that we are indeed a part of a global marketplace, an international system for the buying and selling of goods and services. Today's global trade, however, did not always exist. In fact, it has only been in the last 100 years that the United States has played a role in global trade. To better understand how trade has affected our lives, we must examine the historical factors that have affected the development of today's global economy. Trade, the voluntary exchange of goods and services, has existed since prehistoric cultures first bartered, traded goods and services without money, to obtain things they needed or wanted. Prehistoric people moved from place to place. As they traveled, they came into contact with people who had goods that they themselves did not have. Because they wanted some of those goods, they developed a system of trade. Prehistoric trade even existed in West Virginia. We know this because historians discovered that the Adena people left behind jewelry made from shells that were not native to the state. For centuries, international trade existed between Asia and Europe using such Mediterranean ports as Venice and Constantinople, as well as a land route known as the Silk Road. The Silk Road was an international trade route of more than 5,000 miles that connected China to the countries in the Mediterranean region. Travelers along the Silk Road encountered middlemen, traders who buy goods from producers and sell them to other traders and consumers at a higher price. These middlemen drove up the prices of such luxury items as dyes, silk, perfumes, drugs, gold, jewels, and spices such as pepper, cinnamon, nutmeg, and cloves. In the 13th century, Marco Polo traveled with his father and uncle to China along the Silk Road. They spent the next 17 years visiting with Chinese leader Kublai Khan. When they returned home, Marco wrote a book describing their travels and detailing the fabulous things they found in Asia. The riches of the East Indies, Polo said, were something wonderful, whether in gold or precious stones or in all manner of spicery. Nearly 200 years later, in 1477, the publication of Marco Polo's travels led many Europeans to hope that China's fabulous riches could be reached by ship. First, however, Europeans had to find a shorter trade route to the Orient before they could make these items more available to the people. The Age of Exploration and Global Trade. The search for shorter trade routes gave rise to what was called the Age of Exploration. European rulers sent explorers to search for new trade routes to the Far East. Sometimes, while searching for those trade routes, the explorers discovered new lands, more specifically, North and South America. Many of these newfound lands became colonies of the European nations whose explorers claimed them for their mother countries. A colony is a geographic area politically controlled by a distant country. The colonies, which had resources that were not found in Europe, became a source of both raw materials and markets for European industries. During this time, the voyages of Christopher Columbus from Spain to the Americas and Vasco da Gama's travels from Portugal around the Cape of Good Hope to India are credited with establishing the first actual global trading opportunities. By the end of the 16th century, Spain dominated trade with the Americas, while Portugal dominated trade with Africa, Asia, and Brazil. After the discovery of silver and gold in the Americas, precious metals began to be used as a medium of exchange for goods. This form of payment replaced the barter system. Colonization and global trade. In the 17th century, Great Britain encouraged its colonies to develop an economy based on agriculture and commerce, the buying and selling of goods. The British government believed the colonies existed to serve the needs of the mother country. That is, the government practiced mercantilism. For a country to be economically successful under this trade policy, it had to export more than it imported. Great Britain required its colonies to produce raw materials and ship them to England. There, British workers used the raw materials to make finished goods, such as furniture, clothing, tools, and sugar. Those finished items were then exported and sold to other nations, strengthening the British economy. The British government also promoted growing cotton in the American colonies in order to avoid importing cotton textiles from India. The southern colonies proved to be a good location for growing cotton. However, the production of cotton required a large number of workers. To fill the need for workers, African slaves were brought in to work in the cotton fields. This resulted in the creation of a triangular trade route between the North American colonies, Great Britain, and Africa. The colonies sent raw materials, such as sugar or molasses, tobacco, and cotton, to Great Britain. England sent textiles and manufactured goods to Africa. Africa sent slaves to the North American colonies. As time went on, Great Britain began to place a number of restrictions on colonial trade in order to increase its profit. The American colonies resented those laws. One of the laws, the Tea Act of 1773, allowed the British East India Company to sell tea for less than colonial merchants could sell it. This law, which hurt the colonial economy, was one of the main causes of the American Revolution. The growth of global trade. After the creation of the United States, the new nation had to establish its own economic policies. Because the United States wanted to concentrate on building its own industrial base, global trade was not a priority. Alexander Hamilton, the first U.S. Secretary of the Treasury, proposed high tariffs, taxes imposed on goods that are imported into a country, to protect the growing American businesses. In the 18th century, the Industrial Revolution drove global trade. Global manufacturing moved from the poorer countries to the richer European ones. New inventions, including the steam engine and the spinning jenny, boosted Great Britain's textile industry but caused a decline in the textile industry in India. The 19th century brought new inventions, better roads and ports, and mass production, the manufacture of large quantities of similar goods. The advent of steam power revolutionized the way goods were shipped to market. Steamships and railroads made it easier to trade with foreign countries. Steamships were faster, and they could travel in any weather. Railroads made it possible to move goods from coastal towns and cities inland, opening up job and industrial opportunities in new locations. Global trade in the 20th century. World War I devastated many European nations. As a result, the United States and Japan became the dominant countries in global trade. At the same time, the United States became more protective toward its own industries. The passage of tariffs again reduced international trade. Total world trade went down by 66% between 1929 and 1934. Global trade again took center stage after World War II. World leaders looked at increasing foreign trade as a way to bring foreign nations closer and reduce the chance of war. In 1948, a trade agreement known as the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade, GATT, was created. It was intended to prevent national trade barriers that limit free trade, international trade free of government intervention. Many believed that the lack of free trade was a major cause of the Great Depression and World War II. Global trade since 1980. Since 1980, U.S. presidents have promoted the concept of free trade. When Ronald Reagan became president, the United States-Canada Free Trade Agreement was passed. Reagan promoted free trade as a means of achieving progress and peace. President George H.W. Bush led negotiations to establish NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. This treaty eliminated tariffs on products traded among the United States, Canada, and Mexico. Although Bush originated the bill to establish NAFTA, it did not become law during his presidency. NAFTA was signed into law by President Bill Clinton, who continued the United States' support of free trade. He believed a global economy gave people a chance to live and work with dignity. While he was president, the World Trade Organization, WTO, replaced GATT. The WTO, which has its headquarters in Geneva, Switzerland, establishes the rules of trade between nations, polices members, and negotiates new trade agreements. President George W. Bush continued U.S. support of free trade. However, he did impose high tariffs on imported foreign steel in 2002 as a way to protect the American steel industry. 20 months later, in order to avoid a trade war, he repealed the tariffs, with disastrous consequences for the steel industry in the United States. Trade policies of Presidents Trump and Biden. President Donald Trump, who campaigned on making changes in trade agreements with foreign nations, made a major change when he withdrew from the TPP, Trans-Pacific Partnership, a few days after becoming president. In the spring of 2018, he made other changes when he imposed high tariffs on aluminum from Canada, the European Union, and Mexico. He also imposed high tariffs on goods coming from China. Some believed that these policies would result in a trade war. In 2021, the Biden administration rolled back the tariffs on steel and aluminum that had been imposed under President Trump. The change ended retaliatory tariffs on American goods that had been imposed by the European Union. In 2024, President Biden reinstated the tariffs to protect steel manufacturers in the United States. Without the tariffs, foreign companies could dump cheap steel on our country. Manufacturers that use steel would then buy the cheap steel to use in making their products. Tariffs on foreign steel would make that steel more expensive, resulting in manufacturers purchasing steel made in the United States. West Virginia's role in global trade. West Virginia does not have a long history in global trade. Perhaps pushed by increased interdependence among nations and competition in the domestic marketplace, the state began to seriously consider becoming involved in global trade in 1985, when an International Development Division of the Governor's Office of Community and Industrial Development was created. Today, the West Virginia Department of Commerce has as its objectives the promotion of West Virginia exports and the attraction of international investments. Given the fact that 95% of the world's consumers live outside the United States, West Virginia realized that exporting was a way to attract customers. To that end, Governor Arch Moore proposed setting up an office overseas in 1986. Although the overseas office did not materialize, the seed was planted, and West Virginia soon found itself marketing its products throughout the world. Two overseas offices in Nagoya, Japan, and Zurich, Switzerland, supported West Virginia's export business in 2024. Improved technology has made exporting so easy that even small business owners are able to become involved. The growth of West Virginia exports. In 2023, West Virginia exported $7.67 billion, making it the 39th largest exporter out of the 53 exporters in the United States. Its exports of manufactured products totaled $4.1 billion and supported an estimated 12,000 jobs. The state's largest manufacturing export category is chemicals, which accounted for $1.5 billion of West Virginia's total goods exports in 2023. Other top manufacturing exports are transportation equipment, $1.1 billion, machinery, except electrical, $367 million, primary metal manufacturing, $285 million, and petroleum and coal products, $123 million. When considering individual products, the top West Virginia exports in 2023 were bituminous coal, not agglomerated, $1.3 billion. Engines, spark ignition reciprocating over 1,000 cc's, $1.25 billion. Polyamides, nylons, $204 million. Other aircraft parts, $163 million. and primary form polyethers, excluding polyacetals, with bismethyl phosphonate, 139 million. Too often, people think discussions of international trade only involve major businesses. This is not necessarily the case. In West Virginia, small businesses are encouraged to export their products, no matter how small. According to the International Trade Administration, many businesses that export their products grow their sales faster, create more jobs, and offer higher wages than non-exporting businesses. Examples of small West Virginia businesses that trade internationally include Chestnut Hill Candle Company, located in Hancock County, which exports candles to the Czech Republic and Germany; Peacock Manufacturing, located in Hardy County, which exports custom cabinets for the home to Indonesia and Singapore; and Hernshaw Farms, located in Kanawha County, which exports mushroom growing kits to Canada. The state's largest export market is Canada. West Virginia exported $2.1 billion in goods to Canada in 2023, representing 38% of the state's total goods exports. Canada was followed by China, $539 million, Japan, $377 million, the Netherlands, $291 million, and Belgium, $285 million. In 2021, which is the latest data available, foreign-controlled companies employed 28,400 West Virginia workers. Major sources of foreign investment in West Virginia included Japan, Canada, and France. Foreign investment in West Virginia was responsible for 5.3% of the state's total private industry employment in 2021. West Virginia imported $4.1 billion in 2023, making it the 45th largest importer out of the 53 importers in the United States. In 2023, top imports of West Virginia were turbojet engines, $546 million, parts of turbojet or turbopropeller engines, $327 million, parts for electric motors and generators, $201 million, commodities not specified according to kind, $171 million, and terephthalic acid and its salts, $153 million. Foreign investment in West Virginia. One of the largest foreign companies to invest in West Virginia was Toyota Motor Corporation. In 1996, it opened a factory in Buffalo, and Toyota Motor Manufacturing West Virginia, TMMWV, was begun. When it opened, the factory employed 300 workers to produce 300,000 engines for Corollas. In 2023, there were around 2,000 workers at the $1.8 million facility. The plant produces four-cylinder turbo and TNGA-25 engines, as well as transmissions and hybrid transmissions. Toyota has made several investments in West Virginia over the years, including these. 2017, a $115.3 million expansion to begin production of hybrid transaxles. 2021, a $210 million investment to upgrade the six-cylinder engine production line and add 100 new jobs. 2022, a $73 million investment to expand transaxle production and assemble electric motor components. In July 2024, Toyota West Virginia celebrated the start of production for the fifth-generation hybrid transaxle, a core part of Toyota's multi-pathway approach to electrification. Assembly of the new transaxles is a result of more than $300 million in investments at the plant announced in 2021 and 2022. Toyota is one example of foreign-owned companies investing in West Virginia. Approximately 30 foreign countries have established 136 businesses in West Virginia. Japan, Canada, and France have the largest number of businesses, while Japan, the United Kingdom, Canada, Germany, and France employ the most workers. All of these companies have combined to create nearly 30,000 insourced jobs, jobs created by foreign-owned companies, and have made personal and economic contributions to the communities where they are located.